Okay, we're going to begin at the top of Ayin Chet Amud Aleph. Here, the Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah that says, "Afilu hu imam b'mita," even if she is with him in a bed, and he hands her a get, it's not a valid get. Amarava lo shanu ela mita shelo. That's if it's his bed, because then it's like giving the get to her and his property. Aval b'mita shelo. When if it's her bed, migureshit, then she is divorced. So the Gemara says, "Tanya nami hochiv a brisa that supports this interpretation." Rabbi Elazar omer b'mita shelo in a migureshit, b'mita shela migureshit. Then in his bed, she's not migureshit like our Mishnah. B'mita shelo, that's the qualification that Rabbi gave to the Mishnah. But if it's in her bed, then it is migureshit. So Gemara says, "B'mita shela migureshit." Is it really true that in her mita it's going to work? Then what do we have? We have a case of kilav shel lokeach b'shut mocherhu. Because where's her bed located? Her bed's located in his house. So now you have a possession of the woman inside the house of the husband, which is called kelav, the kelim, the utensils of the lokeach, b'shut mocher, which is a question in the Gemara of Baba Basra. When you have a possession or utensil of an individual in the seller's property, can that possession acquire things or act as a kinyan or a place for making kinyanim for the person, lokeach, the buyer? So to over here, her bed is in her husband's house. Can her bed act independently, even though it's situated in the husband's house? So Gemara says, well, based on what you're saying now, if her bed can act in that way, mita shelo, she is divorced, then we can bring a conclusion to that question of kelav shelokeach v'shut mocher hu, shma mino, kelav shelokeach v'shut mocher kano, lokeach. Right, that if you have possessions of the buyer inside the seller's house, then the buyer can acquire using those possessions, can make acquisition because it's considered his area or his property. And we can have a conclusion to that question, the Gemara Basra, based on our Mishnah here. So Gemara says, "Lo tzricha de gvoasara," that the case is where her bed is more than 10 tefachim off the ground. If her bed's more than 10 tefachim off the ground, it's considered a separate reshus. If it's a separate reshus, then it's not really sitting in the husband's area. It's in her own area. It's in her own airspace. And therefore, it's not the equivalent case of kelav shelokeach, utensils or the items of the buyer, b'shut mocher. The Gemara says, well, her bed's not just floating inside the house of the mocher. Vayka mekom kare. What about the legs of the bed? The legs of the bed are sitting on the ground, and they're still sitting in the husband's house. The Gemara says, mekom kare lo kapte inche. The placement or the space that the bed poles or the bed legs take up, that the husband's not going to be makpid about. That he doesn't. He's mocher on that space. So it's not that he's going to exert ownership in those spaces. That space, he's basically given up, he's mafkir to her, that she can use that space in order to hold up her bed. Tosus qualifies and says that's true only of his wife, meaning that not in general, we don't say in general that a person doesn't mind about bedposts being in his house, but rather when if it's his wife's bed in his house, he's not going to be makpid on the amount of space that the bedposts take up. And again, it's her bed, it works, the get works in her bed because it's a case where the bed is more than 10 tefachim high. If it's more than 10 tefachim high, it's on its own, her own reshus, and it doesn't deal or have any relevance to the issue of kelim shlokeach b'makom shel mocher. And now, next part of the Mishnah, we said if you gave the get l'toch cheka to her lap or toch kilta, or into a basket, migureshet, then she is divorced. Am I? So again, the same question we have from Babasra, you have, it's kelav shlokeach, right, it's the utensils of the buyer b'shut mocheru, and the place of the mocher, meaning that either she or her basket's found in her husband's house. And therefore, again, you have the buyer's possession in the house or the location of the seller, and maybe that should not be valid. So now we're going to have a series of answers to answer up. How is it that her kilta, her basket, is not in the possession or in her husband's location? So the first one is that it's hanging off of her, it's not on the ground. So that's one possibility to answer the problem, is that the basket's hanging on her, and therefore it's not within her husband's possession. Oh, another possibility, of Shimon Galashi says, the basket is tied to her, even though it's on the ground, but the fact that it is tied to her already makes it a part of her, and not in the possession or in the makom of the husband. She's sitting, and the basket's actually sitting in her lap. So if it's sitting in her lap is definitely her own possession, her own area, and therefore the basket sitting in her lap, that is considered to be her makom and not the makom of the baal or the makom of the mocher. Rav Misharshi bar Rav Dimi gives an alternative, Amar Kagon Sheya Bala Mocher Kiltot, that her husband was actually a basket seller, and since he was a basket seller, he didn't mind having baskets around, that her basket being there is not something to be makbid about. And if that's the case, right, we don't consider it that it's her basket in his place, but rather her basket in her place, because he's not makbid on that, just like he wasn't makbid on the Kari Amita above. Rabbi Yochanan gives the final answer. Amar mekom cheka kanuilo, mekom kilta kanuila. When you're dealing with such personal possessions like cheka and kilta, like her cheka and her lap or her personal body and kilta and the basket, then those areas belong to her. I mean that the husband is not makpid on the space where his wife sits. She's not makpid on the placement of her personal possessions. If she has these very personal possessions in her kiltai, her little personal basket, those areas belong to the woman. Amar Rava, my time to Rabbi Yochanan. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Yochanan? Like we just said, if she's not the makpid, aloha makom cheka, aloha makom kilta. That a husband does not have a hakpada on these areas because that's a very personal possession. It's almost considered like an extension of the woman. And therefore, the place where she sits or the place where she is, those areas we consider to be hers and not the husband's. Tanya Mihochiv, a brisa that supports this position of Rabbi Yochanan. Zerkula l'toch cheka o l'toch kilta. They threw it into her, right, into her lap or into her kilta, into her basket. O l'toch kol davar shu kikilta. Anything like her basket. Arizum igureshet. So then she's divorced. What is kol davar shu kikilta? Anything that's like her basket. L'tuyimai l'tuyi taska d'achla batamrei. Her personal serving dish, her personal plate, right, the basket in which she eats her dates. So again, anything that's a very personal possession, again, we'll assume that, number one, the Baal's not makpid on those, and they really belong to the woman. Number two is that the space that they take up, the husband also is not makpid on that space and doesn't say that this is my space and you're putting your stuff in my space, but rather he allows or defers to her ownership in these areas and allows her to have these personal possessions, and therefore it's not considered kelim shalokeach, the kelim of the buyer, but makom mocher, but rather it's the kelim of the lokeach, but makom lokeach, because of the lack of the Baal's hakpada here. Alright, the new Mishnah. Amar la kinsi shtar chov zeh. So instead of telling her that he's giving her a get, he says, you know, take this contract or this debt document. Oh, shematz ato miachorav. Or she found it behind him or somewhere. She found it and kind of picked it up. Korah. And she reads it, varigita, and then she realizes it's a get. Ain't no get. It's not a get because we need a natan biyada, that you have to actually give it. There has to be a giving by the husband to the wife. In each of these instances, there was no giving. In the first case, there was a lack of giving because she didn't think it was a get when he was giving it to her. In the second case, she picked it up, and it wasn't given to her by the husband. Ad shiomar la hegitech, until he says to her, this is your get. Natan biyada avhi yashena, if it was it put in the hand, then she's sleeping. Neura. She wakes up, Quran, and she reads it, Hariyogita, and then she realizes it's her get. Ain't no get. Again, it's not a get. Achimlar hegitech, until he says, this is your get. Because again, when the time that he gave it to her and she was sleeping, there was no netina, because at that time she wasn't able to be shomeret the get. If she can't be shomeret the get, it's not a valid get. And therefore, when she wakes up, there's no netina when she gets up and has the get in her hand. So until he says, hegitech, take your get, then there is no get. Now the Gemara wants a question, what does Hegitech do for you? Even afterwards, once he's given it to her, and then he says these magic words, Hegitech, take your get, why does that transform the lack of action into an action now? That's Gemara's question. When he says, Hegitech, take your get, my hobby. So it says, it's the equivalent of, it's the equivalent of saying to a woman, pick up your get from the floor. And we know what the loch is when you say, pick up the get from the floor. But if someone, a Baal says to his wife, pick up that get, your get off the floor, that's nothing because, again, he didn't give it to her. There's a lack of natan biyada. There's a lack of natan biyada. That is not a valid get. So Gemara says, well, ema shishalafto me'achorav. That she actually slipped it out from between his pants and his belt. He had it like stuck between his pants and his belt or in his back pocket, and she pulled it out from his back pocket. So therefore, it's coming from him to her directly. So Gemara says, Shalofto nami habi'ino v'natan biyada. Just because it's on his body or on his personal body, and then she takes it, that's not the equivalent of natan biyada. Natan is an active form of giving. Here he's still passive in the giving form. She's taking it off of his possession. And we need an active in natan biyada. Valeka, and you're lacking that. Lo tzricha d'arik la chartzei v'shalafte. No, so the case is that he was also a participant in the giving. How is he active? He moved his hip. He shifted his hip, right? It's closer to the woman, and then she pulled it out. So he did a part of the netina by shifting or positioning the get so that it was closer to her. That's the natan b'yada, and then she takes it out. So that would be the equivalent, because there is an active participation in the giving of the get. Tanya nami ocha, we have a braisa that seems to indicate similarly. Amala can see shtachov zeh. Oh, the shalafto me'achorav, right? If he says, take this contract, this debt contract, or she pulls it out from behind him, karato, and then she reads it, hariyogita, and then she realizes it's a get. Ain't no get. It's not a get. Achi omar la hagitech, until he says to her, this is your get. Divrei rabbi. Shimon ben Elazar omer, lo olam ain't no get, achi tlena imeno. It's not considered a get until he takes it from her back. He must take it back from her, and then he gives it again to her, and says, this is your get. Not if he gives it in her hand and she's sleeping, then she wakes up the Korah and she reads it, and then she says it's her get. Again, it's not a get, like our mission, until he says, divrei Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Achit Lena Amen, he must take it back from her, V'yachzor V'yitzinenela, and then he must go ahead again and give it back to her, V'yomela Hakitech, because he needs an active form of giving, not simply a passive form of giving. And Hakitech by itself is not enough. He must actually do the physical action of giving. V'tzricha, and we did the machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in both of these cases. We brought it down twice. Why? Ditmar b'hachamaita, if I only did it in the case where either she slips it out of his back pocket, or in the case where he gives her and sings the shtarchol, Rabbi Mishum Debati Grushehi. The reason Rabbi says it's enough to say Hegitech is because in that instance, she is able to accept Gerushin. There's a failure because of his action, but in the meantime, she's ready and available to accept Gerushin. About nothing beyond the Yishinav, the case where he puts in her hand and she's sleeping, the Lav Beti Grushehi, there she's not able to be a participant in Gerushin because she's asleep. She is outside the realm of Gerushin at this point in time. Maybe he'll agree with Rabbi Shimon Elazar that giving, the time that she was sleeping, is not a valid giving because she's not even in the Parsha of Gerushin at that time. And therefore he would agree with Rabbi Shimon Elazar. V'itmar b'ha, had I only had the case of sleeping, b'ha kam Rabbi Shimon Elazar. In that case, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says you must give it again because when you gave it when she was sleeping, that was nothing. B'hach, but in the first case, when she was awake and she was available to take a get, it was just done improperly, then we say maybe Amen will delay the Rabbi. Maybe he'll agree to Rabbi that the action, the first action, is sufficient as long as afterwards he says, Hey Gitech, Tzricha. Therefore, we need both cases in the Braisa to explain to us the positions of Rabbi and Shimon Elazar, that they are consistent in their opinion in both cases, despite the fact that you might have thought otherwise. So, Amar Rava, Katav La Get, V'natna Obiyad Avda Yashin. That if he writes a get and he places it into the hand of her sleeping Eved, Mishamrato, and she is watching the Eved, she is guarding the Eved, guarding the get, her is a get. That is a valid get. Ne'ur, if the Eved is awake, ain't a get, then it's not a get. Havilei Chatzer Mishtamerit, which is a requirement we saw, right, in yesterday's daf, that the Chatzer must be a guarded Chatzer. Shelo ledata, but the requirement of a Chatzer Mishtamerit was it was guarded by her will or by her knowledge, right? So when is that guarded by her knowledge? That's when she's either actively watching it or somehow she has it set up so it watches itself. But when you're talking about an Eved has a mind of his own. When he has a mind of his own, that means when he's watching it or guarding it, he's guarding it of his own volition, not midato. Right? Yashin, umisharato, harizaget. So Mara says, well, if he's sleeping and she's watching him, it's a get. Am I? How could it be a get? Even though the Eved is a part of her property, so what you're saying basically is when you put the get into the Eved's hand or while he's sleeping, you're putting it into her chotzer. But this is a movable chotzer, and we know b'chotzer malechet lokana. When a chotzer is moving, it does not have, or a movable chotzer, even though it's not moving right now, it's not considered a valid location to make a kinyan. B'chitema yashen shani, if you say sleeping's different, v'amar Rova, we know that Rova says, kol she'ilu mahalech lokana, anything that while it's moving is not kona, omer b'yoshev lokana. So just like an Eved, when he is moving about, when he is in action, he's not able to be kona because he's a chatzer malechet. So too, when he's sitting or sleeping or any other action that takes him out of the movement, he still cannot be kona because he can move. The fact that he can move is enough to take him outside of chatzer or the ability of a chatzer to be kona. So how could her ever be kona over here? So my answer is like it does in many other places, ve'ilchasa b'kafut, that he's tied up. So in a case where the Eved's tied up, since the Eved's tied up, now he can't move. Even when he's awake, he can't move. Therefore, it becomes a valid chatzer in terms of being able to make a kinyan, because it's not a chatzer malechet, it's a chatzer she'ena malechet. And when he's sleeping, then it's a chatzer mishtamerit, it's a chatzer that's guarded, midata, because she's the one watching either the get or him, and the guarding is done by her, midata, from her own volition. Whereas when he's awake, right, we have, if he's not tied up, we have a problem that it's a chatzer malechet, and if he is tied up, even when he's awake, there's a problem because he's shomeret mi da'ato, right? He watches over the get from his own da'at or his own volition, not because of the woman mi da'ata. So that would be the problem with the get in that instance. All right, next mishnah. Hayta omedet b'rishut harabim v'zarak la, right? So he has standing in b'rishut harabim and he throws her get. Karov la, if the get lands close to her, migureshet, then she's divorced. Karov lo, if the get lands close to him, ain't a migureshet, then she's not divorced. Mechza, mechza land halfway, migureshet, ve'ain't a migureshet, then she is a suffolk divorce. V'chein le'inyon kiddushin, same way of application by kiddushin, if he throws her kesef kiddushin, or shtar kiddushin, ve'ain le'inyon chov, and the same thing with a loan. Amar lo, ba'al chovo, zrukli chovi, like if the malva, the lender, says to the debtor, throw me back my payment, Vizar Kolo, and then he throws it to him. Karov Lamalve lands closer to the lender than Zacha Hamalve. Then it's in the possession of the Malve, and he'll be responsible for it, and it will be considered repayment. Karov Lalove, if his throw lands close to the debtor, Halove Chayav, then the Lova is still Chayav in it, meaning that he still has Achrayut to make sure that it's returned to the Malve. Mechza Mechza, Shnehem Yochloku, if it's halfway, then we say they split it. They split the difference because we don't know which side is the problem. We say it's half his problem, half that problem because we don't know which way it goes. Right now, hechi dami karov lo, hechi dami karov lo. I mean, the Mishnah says close to her, close to him. What does it mean close to her and what does it mean close to him? How do you define which is which or how far is the expanse of close to him versus close to her? So, Amar Rav Arba Amad Shalah Zekhu Karov lo. So, Rav says that's four amos, meaning that the general principle that a person has land space around them of four amos that's given to them to the midrabbanan that can acquire and make kinyanin on their behalf. I mean, that's considered their personal space on the ground is any four amos around them. So now, Abra Mochalas, if it's within, it falls within four amos of her, then it's hers, Karavlo, then it's a good get. Abra Mochalo, if it falls within his four amos, then it's what? Karavlo. So, Hechi Dami Mechsa Mechsa, if that's the case, how do you come up with a case where it's exactly in between them? If they were each standing four amot away from each other, so they had overlapping personal spaces. So Mar says, let's say, Haminahu Kadim, let's see who came first. Whoever is there first acquires the personal space. And the next person who comes is encroaching on the other's personal space. So therefore, whoever was there first will be the one that will determine whether it's close to him or close to her. If you say they come, both came at the same instant, and therefore there's nobody came first, nobody has better rights in personal property, we know there's a general principle that you can't be exacting. So there's no way they could have come at the exact same moment. At least with time, we say you can't be exacting. But maybe in space, you can't be exacting. What's this? Rav Kana suggests, the case here is where, we're dealing a case here where it's exactly 8 amot. There's exactly 8 amot between the two of them. Therefore, v'get yotzei mi'arba'ot shalo l'dat amot shala. And the get lands right in the middle, over the borderline between them. So that's on this dalet amot, on her, partly in her dalet amot, and partly in his dalet amot. So now what happens? If it's closer to her, we say that it belongs to her. If it's closer to him, we say it belongs to him. Now, mechza is a suffix. The Gemara says, well, even if it's closer to her, if a part of the get is still in his personal space, right, then he's still, what? She's still attached to him. Meaning that a get kritut, a get must be something that divides completely and goes completely into her possession. The fact that some portion of the get is still in his possession or in his personal space, right, within his part of his dalet amot, that already invalidates the get. So that can't be the case. Ela Rab of Rav Yosef to Amrei Tovayu. As a third attempt to explain our Mishnah, we're dealing with there are two witnesses, two sets of witnesses here, Askinan. Achad omer karov lo, v'achad omer karov lo. One says close to him, and one says close to her. Meaning that we're dealing, the answer of how we explain this case of Mechzal Mechza, right, we have three possibilities of how to explain so far the possibility of Mechzal Mechza. We said, what is karov lo? That means within her four amot, within her personal four amot space. Karov lo means within his personal four amot space. How do we deal with Mechza? Mechza, what's 50-50? So the first try we made was according to Rav, who says that they're both within four amot of each other, and therefore their personal spaces overlapped, and that's what's Mechza, Mechza. So the Gemara says, well, we reject that answer because if they're overlapping space, you just need to know who came first, and there's no way that they came exactly at the same time, since one of them must have come in first. If one of them came first, right, then we know whose space it is. So the alternative was given, or another possibility was given by Rav Kahana, that we're talking about that there's 8 amot between them, and the get is actually straddling the borderline. So if it's closer to him, it's still his possession, it's not a good get. If it's closer to her, it's her get. If it's mechza mechza, it's right on the borderline, half-half, then it's a suffix. So the Gemara challenges that and says, well, even if it's karov la, is that sufficient to be a get, or mechza mechza, how could it be a get? Because still agida bay, she's still attached to him, because since the get is still partly in his reshus, that's not enough. We need a full kritut. We need full possession of the woman in order to be a get. So then Rabbi Rav Yosef gives the last possibility, a third possibility of what mechza mechza is, that we have two edim. I mean, it's true. If it was close to her, within her four amos, that we would know it was hers. If it's within his four amos, that's his. Now, what happens if Edom come? We don't know which it is. And one set of Edom says it's closer to him, and one set of Edom says it was closer to her. Within his dalat amos or her dalat amos. Now we have a machlokas between the Edom, and that is maxa mex. So that's a suffake. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Omer. Rabbi Yochanan gives an alternative explanation for what is karov la and karov lo. So Rab's explanation was that it was in dalat amos, meaning that it was within your personal space. Rabbi Yochanan Amar karov la shaninu afilu mea ama, karov lo shaninu afilu mea ama. Close to him or close to her is even within 100 amos of them. So hey, if you dami mexa mexa, then how do you know what's half and half? How can that be exactly between? I'm a Sherman Rabba, the Dima Farshale Mini to Rabbi Yochanan. I was explained the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Hu Yacholu Shomra, Vihi Eina Yacholu Lishomro. If he's able to guard or to take care of the get, and she is unable to take care of the get, Zehu Karov Lo. That means that it's closer to him. I mean, that's considered in his possession. He Yacholu Lishomro, Vihu Eina Yacholu Lishomro. If she can guard the get, I mean that she can watch over the get and ensure the ownership of the get, but he is unable to, then that's considered Zehu Karov Lo. Shneiem yocholim l'shomro. Oh, if either one of them could guard it, it's within their purview of their, or within their space in which they could guard it, or they could watch over it. Or shneiem eni yocholim, or both of them can. It's in such a place that neither of them has the ability to watch over it. Zeu mechza mechza. That's the safek, or mechza mechza. It's 50-50, because we really don't know whose possession it is anymore. So where, according to Rav, the first dance, he explained korov lo and korov lo as to be their physical property. I mean, their personal space, their dalat amos around them. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's not defined by their personal space, but rather it's defined by their ability to be mishtameret. Because what's the requirement of get? It has to come, it has to be to a chatzar mishtameret. So Rav focuses on the chatzar side, on the actual physical space side, and says it has to be within her personal space, within her dalat amos. Rabbi Yochanan focuses on the mishtameret side. How do we define ownership? How do we define whose possession it is? That's got to do with mishtameret. Who can watch over it? And again, the mechsa for Rav will be, again, the final, after three tries, we got it to the case where it is two Edim arguing about whether it's Karov Lo or Karov Lo. And according to Biochan, the mechsa mechsa is where neither of them has shlita over it, or both of them have shlita over it. Therefore, it's not clear whose possession it is in. So Amru Rabbanan Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. So the Rabbanan said over in front of Yochanan, Mishmei de Rabbi Yonatan. They said over what Rabbi Yochanan's position was. They said over in the name of Rabbi Yonatan. So he says, Hachi Amar. So Rabbi Yochanan responded to them, Yadin Chavrin Bablai the Frushe Ki Hai Taima. It's nice to see that the Babylonians know how to explain the Mishnah like we do. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yonatan was in Bavel, and he later on went up to Eretz Yisrael. So when they heard over that Rabbi Yonatan had given the, when they told over to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yonatan had given over pshat, and it was the same pshat that Rabbi Yochanan gave, he says about Rabbi Yonatan, it's good to hear. It's nice that the Babylonians know how to explain the Mishnah just like we did, or like I did here in Eretz Yisrael. Tanya Nami Yochiv of a brace that supports this explanation. Rabbi Lezer Omer Koshu Karov La, Malo, Uva Kelev Venatlo, Milo. If there's anything that's closer to her than him, and then a dog comes, Venatlo, and takes it away, Ena Megureshet. Right, then he should not Megureshet. So, what do you mean she's not divorced? Why shouldn't she be divorced in this case? Right? Why does she have to watch? I mean that once it comes into her possession, she already has the get. She doesn't have to watch anymore. If a kelev comes and eats it after she's divorced, that's not her problem. So why isn't she divorced over here? Right? She must watch it and her whole life? No. This must be the explanation of this brisa. Kosher karuv la milo. Anything that's closer to her than him, the ilu ba kelev v'nat lo, and a dog comes and takes it, v'hu yachol l'shomro, v'hi yachol l'shomra. Right? And a dog comes along and takes it, and he is able to stop the dog, but she is not. Ain't a migureshet. Then she's not migureshet, meaning that the definition of what's considered possession has to do with your ability to guard or exert ownership over the item. And over here, since even though, right, it was closer to her, but when a dog came, she was unable to protect against the dog from coming, but he is able to do it. That means that who is the owner, or who is the controller over here? The one who can guard it. So what's the case? Rashi gives the case over here. What's this type of case? Afal pi shekarov la, even though it's closer to her than him, im yesh hefsek nahar. What happens if there's a river between her and the get? O gav shushit, or a big pile of mound of dirt. Beno la get, shilaya ba kelev, if a dog came, not lo, ena yachol shomro. So even though she is Even though she's closer to the get, physical proximity, she's closer, she's not able to exert ownership or control over the get. About who? Because he doesn't have a river separating, or he doesn't separate it by this mound of dirt. He can, even though it's not as close to him. So we see from this, what, that the definition of karov lo and karov lo has to do with who has exerted control, who has the ability to be shomer it. Right, what's considered karov lo? That's if she can bend over and pick it up. Now, you want to know what's considered close, or, you know, from our Mishnah, right, that means when she's able to bend over and pick it up, that's considered karov lo. V'at lo tavit uvdup, despite the fact that this is the definition of karov lo, you shouldn't do, or you shouldn't paskan alaka this, adamati gitle da, until it reaches her hand. There's a case like this where the Baal gave the get, she was able to bend over and pick it up. Nevertheless, when the Baal died, they still required to do chalitza because they were not certain, or they said it was not a valid get. Even though Mido writes that it was a good get, there's a gezeras chachamim that it should not be a good get. Why? Rashi says, gezeras shemi yamru al rachok shehu karov. Because maybe they will say about something that's further away that it's considered karov. So in order not to have a subjective manner in determining what's close to her and close to him, they said no get is a good get until it reaches her hand, until it reaches physically into her presence. Now, Tosfos here qualifies this and says that the only time we say that it comes into her hand, you need to actually physically get to her hand for it to be a valid get, that's only when you're standing b'rishus harabim, that's when you're standing in a public domain. Because in a public domain, we don't say that her karov lo, her dal amos are kona, or the fact that she's able to be mishtameret, that's kona la, because again, that's subjective, and there could be times where it's really rachok, and they say it's karov, and it'll be a get, and nafik chubar mine. So, but the Chachamim said no get, unless it reaches her hand, and she's rabbin. But, if it's in her chatzer, right, it's in chatzerah, then we don't need it to reach her hand, that is sufficient. That's the way Tosla says. He says, but nevertheless, he said, he saw in the oruch, right, the oruch says that a get, right, that he has a kabbalah from his rebbeim, that even if he put thrown into her chatzer, it's not a good get until it reaches her hand. And he brings a proof from the Yerushalmi, which Tosfos rejects. So again, a machlokas between Tosfos and the Aruch about this application of this gezera, that it's not a good get until it reaches her hand. That is, number one, Tosfos says that's only true in Rishus Rabbim, but when it's in her own property, then we don't require, you know, we don't require this yada because it's her possession. We don't have a question of karov lo anymore. Only in Rishus Rabbim, where there's this question of where, how close is close enough, and how watched is watched enough, that's when we say that it's gezera only when it reaches her hand. The Aruch says, no, it has broader application. We say, in general, gittin are not going to be gittin until they reach her hand. We want to prevent all of this giving of gittin that don't reach the woman directly into her hand, and therefore, only when it reaches her hand is it a valid get. Now, there's another point here on the previous Amud, Tosfos, the Re mentions over here that a get is only valid. The Re used to make a husband who was giving a get to his wife make two statements. First of all, you would have to say, Hai Gitech, right? Hai Gitech, this is your get. Like our Gemara said, that she has to be aware and knowledge, have knowledge that it's her get. And number two, you would have to say, Hariyat Muter de Chol Adam. And through this get, you are Muter de Chol Adam. So two things. One is that he has to identify that this is the get. And number two, he has to say the Lashon, that's not from our Gemara, that's from a Gemara Nazorik, that he must say that this get is going to free you and give you, create the kritut or mutar the chol adam. So that's just the inyan halacha that comes out of our Gemara that you should, again, use these two lishonot. And number two is a question about whether the get has to reach your hand or not, machlokis tosfos and the arch. Right now, continuing in the Gemara, v'kein linyan kiddushin. The same is true of kiddushin. Amar abasi amar biyochon the gitin amru v'lo du davar acher. This union of karov lo and karov lo only has application by gitin and not by anything else. So of course the Gemara is going to ask in a second, right, what does that mean, right? You have, how can you say this? Our mission explicitly says that it not only applies by gitin, it also applies by kiddushin and balei chov. So eitve rabbi avo the rabasi v'chein linyan kiddushin. Right, our Mishnah says explicitly, or we have a price even that says that ain't chen linyan kiddushin, that it also applies to kiddushin. So there he says shiny hosom. That's different. There's a hekesh between gitin and kiddushin, and therefore we say gitin and kiddushin are the same. When he says it only applies to gitin, it means gitin and kiddushin, because gitin and kiddushin are like right and left hand. We're one thing because there's a hekesh between kiddushin and gerushin through the pasuk of yatzav aital ishacher. Eitvei v'chein linyan chov. What are you going to do with our Mishnah? It says it also applies by chov. So when it says rokli chov gi, right? If you throw my chov, is what our Mishnah says. If you throw me my chov, throw me back to my payment. V'zarko lo karov l'malve. If it's next to the Malve, if it's next to the lender, Zacha, they changed the gears here, and so Shat to Hamalve, makes sense, that the Malve, the lender will take possession of it. Karv Lelove, it's close to the debtor, Alove Chayev, then the Love is responsible. Mechsel Mechsel, Shneim Yechloch, they'll split it. Gemara says, Zacha by Eskino, in that case, the Balchov, Zamalei Zruk, Lichovi, Biti Pater. If you throw me in my Chov, you'll be cleared of all things. So Gemara says, what do you mean? If he says, throw me the chov and you tipa there, yihochi ma'ala memra, then what's the question at all? Of course, that's pshito that it works, because he says it. Tosu points out that even when he says, rukli chovi b'tipa there and be patur, he only means be patur if you get it close to me. He doesn't mean patur if it stays close to you. So Gemara says, lo, tzricha damle zrukli chovi b'torat gitin. Throw me my chov, like the condition of the process that's used by gitin. So akati ma'ala memra, what's the chiddush? Of course, if he says it's the way that they do gitin, then it should work like gitin. Maudatema, what would I have thought? Matzim Amarle Mishatani Bakha, I was joking with you. Kamash Malan, we don't say that. That he's not allowed to say that he's joking with him. And if he says that they return my loan the way that Gitin are returned, then it has the same halachot of a get, which is the Karov Lo belongs to him, Karov Lo belongs to her, so too by get by a chov. It's Karov the Malvet, it's in the Malva's possession, Karov the Lova, it's in the Lova's possession. Amar of Chista get biyoda, umashicha biyodo. If she has the get in her hand, and there's a string that attaches the get back to him, if he can pull it away from her, and bring it back to him, then she's not migreshet. If he's unable to bring the get back, then migreshet. So now, the question is, what is the case? It's actually a machlokus to read in the Rebbeinu Tam, what the exact case is over here. Because if he put it into her open hand, and then she later closed her hand on the get, her closing of the hand afterwards is meaningless, because at the time of the netina, her hand was open, and therefore the string was still attached, of course he could pull it back. So the Rebbe says the case is actually where her hand is already closed, and he stuffs the get into her closed hand, and he has a string. So the question is, how far did he stuff it into her hand? If he stuffed it in her hand enough that he can't pull it back, then it's a valid get. If he stuffed it in her hand, he could still pull it back, that's not a valid get. That's the way the Rebbe learns. The Rebbeinu Tam, on the other hand, says no. It's a case where he put it into her open hand, but it's a very heavy get. So that's the question. It's a very heavy get. If the heavy get's so heavy that he can't pull it back with the string, then it's a good get. If it's not so heavy that he can pull back the string, then it will not be a valid get. That's the machlokes in the Rebbeinu Rabbeinu Tam, what exactly the case is over here. But again, his ability to pull back the string shows that he hasn't relinquished full ownership over the get, hasn't given a full netina to her, and therefore will not be a valid get. My time up, being in kritut, we need it to be a full cutting. The lekan that you don't have over here. Amar Rav Yehuda, Aita Yada Suya Ketafres. What happens if he opens her hands and they're on an angle? They're facing down. Her fingers are facing towards the ground. Mezarkula, and he throws the get to her, and then it bounces off her hands. Afa Bisha Gia, the get liyada, if it hits her hands, ain't a migreshet. Why am I? Haki Nafil. Wait, so first of all, why isn't it a get? Because she didn't catch it. She didn't catch the get. It's not a valid get. She has to take possession of the get when he gives it to her. So Mar says, am I? Haki Nafil. Even when it falls out of her hands, Barbara Modidoka Nafil falls into her space, her personal space, her land space around it, which is 4 amot, which should acquire it on her behalf. So even though it doesn't get to her hands, it at least gets into her personal space. So Gemara says, below nach, in a case where it never landed. So the Gemara says, v'tigareish me'arvira de 4 amos. So fine, even though it never landed, the get never reached the ground, meaning Rashi gives the case that it was burnt up or something happened to the get before it reached the ground, nevertheless, her airspace, not only is her personal land space around her 4 amos, what about her personal airspace, a 4 amot around her, that should acquire on her behalf. So Gemara says, well, based on this, Tifsho, we had a question to buy Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar had a question. Arba Amot Shamru, the 4 amot that the Chachamim gave a person of personal space, ground space around them, Yesh Lam Avir or Ein Lam Avir? Is that only on the ground, or is that even the airspace around them is included in that 4 amot? Tifsho, the Ein Lam Avir. From this, you can prove that they have no Avir, because we said when she's holding her hands on an angle, that is not a good get, because when it bounces off her hands and it gets burnt up later, even though it's within her 4 amos of airspace, it's not a good get. So we could answer Rabbi Elazar's question. Mara says, no, I'll cover my skin. In our case, over here is the case. Bo Meret Agavanar. She's standing on the edge of a river. So therefore, there is never any ground space below her. If there's no ground space below her, then there can't be any air space above her. So therefore, if she has her hands on an angle, either it gets into her hands and she holds it, and that's a good get. If she doesn't get into her hands, then there's no ground space to acquire for her, and there's no air space. If there's no ground space, there's no air space. How come my skin go minal gavanar to mikar leibud koi? Because by definition, it's going down the drain because there's nothing below to capture the get. So now, the Rabbeinu Tam says over here, right, that the case was a yoda ptucha, and that, he says, based on this, we said above, that the Rabbeinu Tam says the case with the string and pulling back is the case where the woman's hands are open. So Rabbeinu Tam says, based on this, that we have to be zaher shite yarisha ptucha, ad sheiniach kol haget biyada, that a person, when he gives a get to a woman, has to make sure that her hand is open and the entire get gets into her hands. Dim tikpots yada ba'ocha balo ches barosha get, because if she closes her hand on the get before the husband has let go of the get, then lo avi get. Why? Because lo avi get kamo biyada umshicha biyado. Because he's still holding onto a piece of the get, and she's holding onto a piece of the get. There they have joint possession of the get, and that should not be a valid get. So she must open her hand, he must place the entire get into her hand and release it before she closes her hand on the get. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says, based on his pshat. So now, he says, based on this, v'nira, he says in the end, the kosher, that it's not, it should be kosher, because it's not any worse than the case we saw above where he shifts his hip and he moves it closer to her. So do over here. When it's in her hand and he's moving his hand towards her and she's taking it out, it's just that he's enabling her to take the get. It's not like he has possession over the get anymore, it's that he's giving it to her in her possession. But nevertheless, he says, v'machmir tavola bracha. One is machmir, right, should ensure that the get is given fully to the woman before she closes her hand on the get. And the last thing, in terms of avir of Dalet Amos, the Tosfos over here mentions that, we have to assume that the avir of Dalet Amos is mintar, is considered mishtameret, because we know that for a get to be a valid get, it has to be a makom mishtameret. So within your personal ground space, that makes sense. But within airspace, do we say that it's mishtameret? So Tosfos says, based on this, it seems like it must be that it's mishtameret. The Ria, on the other hand, says, no, that's exactly the question of Rabbi Elazar. So just like the Chamim made your ground space into your Dalet Amos and make it into your personal space, did they also say about Avir that even though technically it's not Mishtameret, but it's considered as if it was Mishtameret? And that's actually the question of Rabbi Elazar, and that's the question, what is the airspace of a person like? Is it just considered airspace, or is it considered airspace a Mishtameret? That's the way the Ria learns the actual question of Rabbi Elazar. Okay, we'll stop over here.